I was listening to Brother Alan Carr preach. I believe he is up at West Lenore preaching a graduation service for the preachers. And he said that nobody likes preaching to preachers. And I believe he made the statement in that message when he found out that they were wanting to preach. He'd been praying for a month that the Lord would give him the flu. He said, I didn't want to preach. And he said, but the Lord never seemed fit to give him the flu. And he went on to say, I'm glad he didn't now. I mean, he was a preaching and God was a blessing. And he said, I'd rather be up here preaching than anywhere else I know. And that certainly is the way it is. I don't get cross-wired when I'm not called to preach. I get cross-wired when I am called to preach. That's my problem. And I may be geared different from everybody else. But I thank God for the opportunity to be here this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. Very familiar reading in our Bible. Most people have read this over and over. You've studied it. You have heard it preached. But this is just the direction that the Lord has led me, and it certainly is not my normal way of preaching. I like to read a text and just stay right in those verses, never get out of them hardly at all, just stay right there. But the Lord has kind of led me in a different way, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which that happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I want us to think this morning on this thought, the next best thing. The next best thing. It's hot out today. And I've got a car over yonder underneath the shade tree. It's got air conditioning. The windows are rolled up and the air conditioning works well. But if I needed to go to Statesville today and there wasn't a drop of gasoline in Alexander County and somebody offered me a horse and buggy, I would take the next best thing. I've never driven a team, but I would give it a try. I'd hate to have to walk all the way to Statesville in weather like this. Couldn't imagine it. Sometimes the next best thing's not all that bad. Many of you probably seen on the television this Jesse Duplantis, and I don't know much about him. I've seen him a few times. He's a preacher, and he's trying to get several million dollars up for a jet. And he's wanting one of these new jets where he can travel all around the world and not have to stop. I mean, getting that thing and don't land till you get there unless it's an emergency. And somebody was questioning him about it, and he said, well, if Jesus was alive, if Jesus was on this earth today, he wouldn't ride around on a donkey. That's what he said. And I don't guess he would. And I'm not taking Jesse Duplantis's shape on nothing. I don't know enough about him to say good or bad. I just heard him make that statement on television. I don't have a mansion. I have a comfortable home that I live in. And I don't have a mansion, but I tell you what I got the next best thing. I have been guilty of thanking God for the home that I live in. In fact, down through the years, I have thanked him many times for the roof that I have over my head. I do not have the nicest car on the grounds, I'll guarantee you that. I drive a 2003 Volkswagen Passat, got her brand new, and I have thanked God for down through the last 15 years, and I got a good car, and it may not be as good as yours, but thank God for the next best thing. I'm glad that I've got a good car. I don't wear the most expensive clothes. When Walmart goes out, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't wear the best, but I'll tell you what I've done. I've been guilty down through the years of thanking God for the clothes that I have on my back. Amen. I may not wear the highest priced stuff, but thank God for the next best thing. It works for me, and I bless the Lord for that. The next best thing isn't always a bad thing. When I think about this lame man, I think about his hopes before the crucifixion, before Jesus had ever died. We know his age. The Bible says in chapter 4:22 of the book of Acts that he was above 40 years old. So this fellow, Brother Rules, down on the short rows of life back then with all of his physical problems and things that he had, his life expectancy would not have been very long. This fellow is down on the short rows of life, and life has been hard for him. He's a cripple, been that way all of his life, never been able to walk, and life has been hard. Not only do I think about his life, but I think about his agenda. I have kids get on the school bus the first year they ride, and on a Friday when they get off, I say, well, what's the agenda for the weekend? They'll say, what? I say, what's for the agenda for the weekend? I don't know what you're talking about. I say, what are you going to do over the weekend? They say, oh. So then I notice not only his age, but I notice his agenda. I know what he's going to do tomorrow. They're going to load him up on a cot, and they're going to carry him down there to the temple, and they're going to lay him at the gate called Beautiful, because the Bible said they did that daily, day after day after day. They took him down there and laid him. There ain't no point asking him what he's going to do tomorrow. I may ask you what you're going to be doing tomorrow, what you're going to be doing next week, or do you have any plans for the 4th of July? Are you planning on being here the second week of camp meeting? I may need to check on your agenda, but we don't need to check on his agenda. I know what they're doing. Daily, they're taking him down there, hoping somebody will throw some coins in the cup that he can help with his own self and with his family. His age, his agenda. But notice the area that he's in. The Bible reminds us here that in verse number 2 that he was laid daily at the gate of the temple. The temple. Go back in your mind about 50 plus days. Who was at the temple? Jesus was at the temple. Jesus was a walking through the temple. Jesus has been teaching at the temple. I believe it's in Matthew chapter number 21 where it says that our Lord was at the temple, and he went in there and he cast out all them that sold and all them that was a marketing at the temple. And he said, my Father's house, you've made it a den of thieves. That was at the temple about just a couple of months or 3 or 4 months before all this happened. Jesus was at the temple. Guess where this man was? At the temple. He was at the temple. I wonder how many times Jesus passed by, and this man could have possibly saw him through the crowd. He may have looked out there and said, there he goes, there he goes. Maybe he'll come my way one day. Maybe things will change for me. There he goes. I've heard of that man. I see him out there. Maybe one day he's going to call my name. Maybe one day he's going to recognize my need. Maybe my number's going to come up. I just wonder in my mind. They laid him down at the gate. Jesus made the statement, daily I was with you in the temple. I wonder if he ever saw him.
Amen.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, if Jesus is there and he is there, I know this is a big place. I've never been there. I've seen pictures. It's a big place. But I wonder if he ever saw him with his eye. I wonder if he ever caught a glimpse of that lowly Nazarene, that one that claimed to be the Messiah, that one that's been a healing. I wonder if he ever saw him down at the temple.
Amen.
I don't know. I wondered something else. I wonder if he's ever laying up there. Here comes a fella skipping. Woo! He touched me. He touched me. I was crippled, but he touched me. I wonder if he is ever laying out there and somebody came by and said, I can see. I can see. Jesus came by. He opened my eyes. And now I can see. I wonder if somebody come running by one day. He's a laying there at the gate and said, Jesus opened up my ears. Say something I can hear. Say something. Tell me something. I'm here, brother. He opened my ears. I wonder if he laid there at the gate. I wonder if he ever saw him. I wonder if he ever heard the praises of people coming through talking about this man Jesus. I was wondering. Maybe if he was standing out to laying up there one day. Here come a little old woman by. Woo! Woo! My son was dead, but he came by. Woo! 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 Oh! Graveyard dead. We was on the way to the graveyard. No hope. But Jesus! Jesus! I wonder if he ever saw him. I wonder if he ever heard anybody giving him praise and glory around the temple. I notice his age. I notice his agenda. Every day he's laid down there. I notice the area. He's right there at the temple. Maybe today. But I also think about his assessment. One day they took him and they laid him. And I wonder if he thought, who'd be today come by here shouting and leaping and dancing? Wonder if Jesus will be here today. And he's looking through the crowd. Somebody walks by and said, we hung that blasphemer on an old rugged cross. We hung that lying person called Jesus on an old rugged cross. We'll not have to worry about that man anymore. We found him guilty of blasphemy. And we had the Roman soldiers take him out there on Golgotha's hill. And they nailed him to an old rugged cross. And he hung there. He bled there. And he's dead. You imagine how that would have affected this old boy's life. Do you imagine what the news would have been like to somebody that had been laying there year after year? Possibly, I can't prove this, but possibly, had even laid his eyes on Jesus. Let me say this. I don't know if you ever seen Jesus or not. I believe he could have, but here's one thing I do believe. Jesus always saw him. Amen. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah. There may have been some days that Jesus walked by and he didn't see him, but there's never a time Jesus walked by and didn't say, he's sitting over there. He's a sitting over there. I'm going to do something for that boy one day. I'm going to help him one day. I've got something in store for him one day. You may be here this morning thinking Jesus has passed you by, but Jesus may be walking by here saying, I'll get you one of these days. I'll catch up with you one of these days. I'll park in your driveway one day. I'll do a work in your heart one day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Amen. Hung him on a cross. Took him up on the hillside. Nailed him there. He's dead. The Bible said then they'd no doubt that man would have heard that they took him out there and they buried him in a tomb. Placed him in a tomb. He's gone. He's gone. You'll never get your legs. You'll never get your healing. You'll never get your prayer answered. This man's gone. We've took care of him. He'll never be back around here again. You and I know chapter 1 of the book of Acts, or we ought to. Chapter number 3 says there's a resurrection. He was seen alive by them. There's a resurrection. Amen. They went out to the tomb, to check and see what was going on. There's an angel sitting on the rock, swinging his legs, and said, he's not here. He's risen like he told you. Go and let them know that he's alive. Praise God for resurrection. We'd be like a lame man, a crippled man. We'd have no hope if our God's in a tomb. We have no hope. But thank God the message is he's alive, he's well, and he's coming back again one day after a while. Hallelujah. He said he was dead, but the Bible said, he's been seen. There's been a resurrection. Oh, by the way, chapter 1, verse number 8, there's a new mission. There is. He said, you fellas stay right here. You're going to be empowered with the Holy Ghost. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you and empowers you and enables you, he said, I want you to go out and preach. You start here at Jerusalem and go to the ends of the world. There's a new mission. Never had no sending like that before. But then not only was there a resurrection and a new mission, there was an ascension, wasn't there? They stood there looking steadfastly up into the heavens as Jesus went up out of this world and he went into the glory world with a promise he's a coming back again one day after a while. But the crippled man don't know that. All he's heard is that he's dead. They crucified him on a cross. I'm 40 some years old. I'll never be able to walk. I'll never be able to run. It's all gone. My hopes are gone. But thank God, one morning, here come the next best thing in shoe leather and in breeches. They got God on them and God in them. Jesus is in heaven, but he sent the next best thing to do something for a crippled man. Whoa! Amen. He can't be here, but he left somebody here in his place. Whoa! Don't worry, honey, it's going to be all right. He's left the next best thing. What are you talking about, preacher? Notice, if you will, in Acts chapter number 3, our text verse, Jesus has completed his work. And by the way, it's been a success. And our Lord leaves here the next best thing. I notice who these men could never be. I realized this morning, and you realize too, they could never be Jesus. They weren't virgin born. They got here just like you did and just like I did. They had a daddy and they had a mama. They were not infallible like Jesus was. They were sinners and Jesus died for them just like he died for you and just like he died for me. They weren't eternal like Jesus was. They had a beginning. They have no ending, but they have a beginning. They could not be him. There's no way that I could be him. I can't be compared to Jesus. Peter and John could never be Jesus. But under his authority and in his program and through his name, they were able to meet the need of a crippled man. Hey, it ain't over until it's over. God is going to use the next best thing. One of them's named Peter. And another named John. You say, well, not only does he tell us who he used, but he tells us, I believe, why he used them. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4 said they were full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus may be up there, but thank God he can be down here too, can't he? Jesus may be over yonder, but thank God he can be over here too. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They never ventured out, never tried to do anything until they were full of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad if we'll get full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said they were on their way to prayer. I'm glad the Holy Ghost and prayer and worship makes us something God can use. God can get glory through and glory in. No, they weren't Jesus, but praise God, they were the next best thing. And by the way, they did for that fella what only Jesus could do anyway and would have done had it been Jesus passed by that way. Amen. Holy Ghost on them, full of prayer, worship God. That's the kind that Jesus uses. They can be the next best thing. Our Lord's not here to go up and down these aisles and pull you out and say this and say that. But I'm glad God can take an old backward country preacher that wants to stutter and stammer and can't get half of what he says to come out right. I'm glad the sweet Holy Ghost of God can walk up and down the aisles and speak to your heart and work in your life. You say, preacher, you ain't much. Honey, I agree with you, but I am the next best thing. Praise God, I'm glad he used me for his glory and for his honor. Hallelujah. Who are you Why? He used them full of the Holy Ghost. Prayed up, wanted to worship God. I noticed what he used. Used their feet in verse number 1. Hallelujah. His feet's over yonder, but thank God he'll use my feet if I'll let him. Used their eyes, didn't he? They saw him there. They looked. You know, I pray, God, help me to see what I need to see. God, give me feet to go where I need to go. And they heard that man. God, give me an ear to hear what I need to hear. God, help me. They used their feet, their hands, their eyes, their mouths. God used them. I agree with you. Jesus wasn't here. He's ascended back unto heaven. But I want you to know it's the next best thing. Thank God. It's the job done while Jesus is gone. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, we're not no poor little old church. I'm glad God's gave... I'm glad God's gave us what we needed here, aren't you? I'm glad God's well able to supply the need. Our Savior may be at the right hand of the Father. He may be making intercession for us. But we're not some poor little widowed church. We're not some dried up little outfit on the side of the road. He sent us the next best thing. He sent Alexander County a James Rule Fox. He gave us a Steve Dagenhart. He's gave us a Tom Gilliam. He's gave us a Rick Safert. He's gave us you and you and you. Oh, I ain't never saw Jesus, but one day I will by thy faith. But hallelujah, I've seen him work through men. I've seen him work through Calvary. I've seen him work through White Plains. I bless his name. He left us with the next best thing. Amen. Next best thing. Well, I don't know how long I've been a preacher. I didn't look when I started. Am I close? I was thinking about Acts. I believe it's chapter 19. I could be dangerous there. I'm not sure. But there was a man by the name of Apollos. And he come down to Ephesus to preach. And if you'll look, if it's the 19th chapter, a couple of verses above that, the Bible said Paul had just left. Paul left out of there. He went somewhere else. He hadn't been gone. Here come Apollos. Old Apollos is an evangelist going around the country preaching. And I don't know as yet had he had met Paul, but I thought what an opportunity he missed. Missed seeing Paul. As far as I know, he'd never met him. Maybe he had, but as far as I know, he's never met him yet. And I thought, what a disappointment. What a disappointment to get down there and having missed the Apostle Paul. I sure would like to saw him. Sure would like to heard him preach when y'all up there in the synagogue. But the Bible said old Apollos went down there and he done what he always did. He opened up the Bible and went to preach. And they said, the Bible says he's a good preacher. I mean, he was eloquent. He could open up that Bible and he could preach. He could preach. But there was a man and a woman who sat at the feet of the Apostle Paul. Paul couldn't be there, but thank God the next... Whoa! The next best thing pulled up on the scene. God's always got what we need. Here come Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. They pulled up there and had a good time. They said, Apollos, we need to talk to you, brother. He said, we've been sitting at the feet of the Apostle Paul, and we want to tell you something. You're preaching the baptism of John, but we want to talk to you about the Holy Ghost. Whoa! Paul couldn't be there. He had to go. But old Apollos ain't having it too hard. He's in good hands. He got the next best thing. He got somebody knew the truth and sat at the feet of the Apostle Paul and they expounded to him and cleared up some things. You say, I bet that made that preacher mad. No, it didn't. He got on his donkey, rode out of town, went to another town and preached the word of God with a fresh revelation and a fresh vision and a new appreciation for the things of God. Paul wasn't there, but thank God for the next best thing. I'm glad the next best thing's all right sometimes, aren't you? I'm glad it'll work for us. The next best thing. Let me say this. Acts chapter 18, not number 19. I'm not much, and I'll admit that. But I'm glad that God uses the next best thing. Glad he does. I don't mean to toot my own horn. In fact, the Bible says we ought not brag on ourselves. We ought to let other people do that if they's ain't bragging. I'm going to have to toot my own horn right here just a minute. I'm not much, but I have healed a few people. I have. Well, that's a tough crowd to preach to this morning, Steve. These people come into our church not walking right, crippled by sin. Crippled by sin. Ain't a walking with God. Been out in the world. Say they saved, got away from God, but they ain't a walking right. And I did just a little old back. I was preaching a revival down in Iredell County one time. And a fella stood up. It got out one night and it was a testify. And a fella stood up and said, I told him down there at the jailhouse. He is a cop. He said, I told him we got an old dirt clob from Alexander County up there preaching for us this week. And we want you to come and hear him. I'd never been called an old dirt clob before. But that's probably a good description. And God can take an old dirt clod from Alexander County, put him up there in the pulpit, and let him preach something God's burned into his heart. And they come walking up there to the altar, slide in there, get right with God, get everything under the blood, repent of that sin, confess it, tell God to help them with it, and they're walking a new life. I have healed crippled people. I have been known to cause the blind to see. You ain't no apostle. I know that. I'm a preacher. Come in there blind as a bat. Couldn't see. God knew there's going to be there, and God birthed something in my heart and let me say what I really believe he'd have said if he was there. Whoa! I'm glad he'll use the next best thing. Whoa! I've been known to raise the dead. Word hadn't got out yet. It will. This is going out today. Quick as we leave here on cell phone right now. Come in there dead and trespasses and sin. Didn't know God, couldn't understand God, didn't know a thing about God, but Lord knew he's going to be there. God put a message in your heart, and you stand up and you preach the word of God in the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost, God all over you, and here they come down an aisle, and they get in there, and they get saved. I've raised the dead before. Hey, I'm glad God uses little things. I'm glad God will use the next best thing if you'll make yourself available. Amen. The next best thing. I ain't much. I'm humbled to stand here and preach this pulpit. These folks out here that are my heroes. I mean folks that I've heard preach down through the years and have fed my heart and been a blessing to me, and some of these local people that opened their doors to me when I was just a young preacher and let me fill their pulpits and had me to preach for. I'm humbled. In fact, I'd be scared to death if I didn't know that God could use the next best thing. Amen. I was coming down the road. I said, well, Lord, there's going to be a lot of people who preach better than I can, but now you remember. Oh, I'm the next best thing. I ain't no Tom Gillum. Tom Gillum ought to holler right now, amen. But bless God, Brother Tom, I'm the next best thing. I'm kind of like old Brother Alan Carr. I sure didn't dread this, but I'm liking it now. Amen. Hey, Jesus is gone. He's went back to heaven. That old guy didn't get what he needed, but thank God, I'm glad he got it through Peter and John. And I'm glad we can get what we need. You can get what you need. God's going to send us the next best thing. Amen. Oh, my. Verse number 6. The Bible said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You know what Jesus did? He met the needs of people. You know what these big vessels do? These big preachers, these big evangelists, these big people? Same thing I'm doing. Well, hallelujah. That just kind of come in. Amen. You know what I'm doing? Same thing Tom Gillen's going to do all week. I'm going to lift up Jesus. Same thing Taylor Pendle's getting ready to do here in just a few minutes, lift up Jesus. I don't remember who's a preaching tonight, but I'll guarantee you they're going to be lifting up Jesus. I'll guarantee you if they ever stop lifting up Jesus, Steve will not book them no more. Amen. I'm just glad to be the next best thing. I'm humbled. I am that God would use the likes of me. But I am blessed this morning just to be the next best thing. And he's been known to use the next best thing.